Hey, it's Randa. You know, I've made it no secret that ever since I switched my coaching to macro-based, 100% of my clients have had results so far. That's insane. But I also know not everyone can book with me one-on-one, whether it's budget or I even have room because, hey, I'm just one person. I can't take a lot of people in a week. So I decided to create my own macro spreadsheet. That way you can input your numbers and have your macro calculations sent out to you in seconds. This is the exact same formula I use with my clients. I'm so excited to bring this to you. You can go to randanutrition.com/manage-your-macros to learn more.
Hey, welcome back to the Realistic Nutrition Podcast. Today, I'm so excited to introduce you to my guest, Andres Ayesta. He is the founder of Planos Nutrition, and today we're talking about how that negative self-talk, you know, that negative pep talk that you give yourself in the mirror, well, how that's affecting your weight loss journey. Andres, he just drops so much knowledge, and I found myself nodding my head like the whole time we were talking. He's given us some great tips that go into his method with his clients on how they reach success. And I know you are going to love this episode. So let's jump in. Hi, Andres. Welcome to the podcast.
So excited to be here, Rana. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited. When I saw this opportunity to have you on, I knew this was a topic that we needed to dive into. So let's first get to know a little bit about you. Tell me about yourself and why are you talking about what you're talking about on TikTok? And because I was seeing you on TikTok and Instagram, like what made you go in this direction with nutrition?
Yeah. So there's a long story, but I'm going to shorten it just to make sure, obviously, we kind of get to like the most important thing. So I have been a registered dietitian for 10 years. The long story short is the fact that I wanted to be a doctor when I was growing up. I grew up in Venezuela in a really small town in South America. And I moved to the U.S. in 2009 to pursue my career here in nutrition. But originally, medicine was really the main goal that I wanted to do. I didn't get into med school. That obviously like crashed my dreams. And I ended up realizing that I didn't want to treat diseases. I wanted to help prevent them. So there was this thing called nutrition that I could obviously got into, and I wanted to work with athletes. So most of my career, I spent working with athletes, improve their performance to be the best version that they could be, from NFL athletes, Major League Baseball players. But there was a pivot moment in which I realized that I had a deep passion for helping women actually become the best version of themselves. And most of that passion came from my wife, GB, who is now expecting our first child. It's a person that who's had a lot of struggles when it comes down to her gut health and body composition. And I was really interested to learn ways in which I could help her. And that became my mission and that became my passion. And I realized that there was like so many other women out there that I could have helped. And that's how Planos Nutrition was founded. And it's funny because I have been in the nutrition industry coaching people for this long. And I, at the end of December, actually sat down with my team and realized that we actually just crossed over 700 men and women, but mostly women that we've helped in the entire process since our first client actually started. So I'm incredibly grateful that actually I can help them become the best version of themselves. So we help women who are desperate for a solution for weight loss and are sick and tired of restrictive dieting and, you know, all the things that you have talked about in previous episodes, and they want to be able to rediscover themselves in the process and put themselves first. We help them by actually using our unique nutrition blueprint methodology, which is a process that we take them to be able to not only lose the weight in the process, but also find themselves, be energetic, be the healthiest version that they can be in an evidence-based version or an evidence-based way to be able to do it. So that's kind of what got me to where we are today. So it's been a long trajectory, but we're super happy and excited about everything that we've done along the way.
That's, first of all, congratulations on the baby. Like, that's incredible.
Thank you.
having Do you find that women and men, like, do we have different mindsets when it comes
Oh
to?
yeah. Big
Okay.
time. It's funny because I was actually recording a podcast with a great girl, Emily Nichols, and I was on her podcast, and she talks a lot about habits. And interestingly, we were talking about the fact that habits for women are different than men. And I asked her, why is that? And it's like, well, because we have a lot more things thrown at us a lot of the times that in a different way. And it's actually true. And one of the things about me as a guy teaching women how to do these things is like sometimes it's like, well, you're not really in my shoes, and it's really sometimes hard to be that person. But after hearing so many stories from our past clients, it allows me to understand that, yeah, it's a little bit different. When it comes down to like women's mindsets, like I think one of the biggest issues that happens with women, particularly in our culture, Latino culture, but I think I see it in all different cultures, is women have a bigger, like they have to kind of fit into a bigger standard when it comes down to their bodies, right? Like guys, like they can get away with just like the dad bod and all those different things like
It's
that. But since,
crazy. Yeah.
right? But then since women are children, since they're little girls, they're supposed to be kind of fitting into this mold of society or what a beautiful woman is supposed to look like, right? And then it creates some of this, because when I don't look that way, because genetically I cannot really kind of fit into this, like, you know, Miss Universe was just like this past weekend. When women start to understand I could never be this small, then they start to really, like, it, not knowing anything, they start to really do crazy things to try to still do that, right? And I think that's like kind of like creates a really broken relationship with their bodies, with food, because they do all this kind of crazy things, and then they just turn into a person that is very negative towards themselves. And that's what we tend to see happening with many of the women that we're helping. And it's difficult, but it's possible for you to obviously change that. And that's what a lot of times I feel like there's a big contrast between men and women. Then again, men, you still struggle with this. I'm not saying that we don't, but it's not as shown in society as, you know, it is with women.
Oh my goodness, yes. I mean, even just from my experiences, not even counting client experiences, it's that negativeness where you get down on yourself and it's just all of a sudden it's I need an all or nothing approach. And you start spinning, and that's when those fad diets come into play. And then you fail at that inevitably because you're so deprived.
Yeah.
And it's just this horrible, horrible cycle. So let's like talk about the self-talk, like the negative self-talk. How can that affect weight loss?
So the way I describe the negative self-talk, it's more about the story that keeps playing in your head about what is when it's not possible. So I like many of the people that we're helping, a lot of times I ask them, you know, what they a lot of times have like this, the limiting beliefs is really that I like that I like to call them, of again, like what they can do and can't do, right? And then that story, it's literally what keeps like that's the same kind of story that they repeat to themselves every day. And that story can actually take different maybe versions of it. One story could be, I'm just like way too old, and or I'm already over 30 and my metabolism has changed and I'll never gonna be able to lose weight, so I might as well just settle for like this body and who I am today, even though I don't feel comfortable, right? That's a story. And that story kind of leads to more stories, such as, well, I might as well just do whatever I want on the weekend because I'm just a lost case, right? That's one type of story. Another type of story that keeps playing is it's usually the one related to restrictive dieting. Like, in order for me to be able to get to these goals, I have to do this long list of things. I need to follow this restricted diet. I need to go keto. I need to cut out carbs. I need to do all these different things. And I'm just not ready for something like that. Or they are ready, but they keep doing that over again because they feel like this is the only way that they're going to be able to get to the results, right? You said it earlier, the all or nothing thinking, right? So this creates this mindset that eventually turns into like, you know, everything is going to fail and I'm not ever going to be able to get to my goals, right? And that limitation, which is again, like it's a wall that you build around yourself, right? It's actually what creates a lot of the issues in terms of being able to actually believe something that can work for you, right? So in our clients, a lot of times what we have to really kind of like knock down that freaking massive wall that is around them so they can understand what it's possible. And that starts with how you're talking to yourself, right? This is like I'm gonna give you a good example of would you be willing to share the name of your a best friend of yours? Like, just
Sure,
so we can.
Katie.
Katie. Okay. If Katie comes to you and tells you, "Hey, Rhonda, I'm so fat. I look awful. Like, I cannot wear anything. Like, I'm disgusted with myself. Nobody's ever gonna be attention to me. I might as well not go to this place because I don't have anything to wear." What would you tell Katie?
Shut up. No, you don't.
Right?
That would be what comes
You
out of
would
my
tell her
mouth.
you look beautiful. Like, you would obviously kind of like do say all these kind things to her. So I want you to imagine that Katie is that inner you, right? That is telling you all these things. You would never talk to Katie that, like, you would never actually say things like, "You're right, you are, a fat piece of shit," like all these different kind of stories that kind of play in your head. You would never talk to that person that way. So the negative self-talk is that Katie saying those things, like that you talking to yourself that way, like, "I'm a piece of shit," and then obviously accepting that, right? So, like, you need to start talking to yourself the way that you would talk to your best friend, to people that you care and love. Because if you don't, you're gonna keep like pushing yourself and punishing yourself for all the things that you are or you aren't. Does that make sense?
My personal story with this, when I stopped doing the fad diets, it was after I had my daughter, and I didn't want to do what I did with my son, where I worked out like crazy and starved myself. So I knew that I'd have to be accepting of myself throughout all stages. So even in the beginning, when I didn't even believe it, I would look in the mirror and, like, say my arms. I would be like, my arms are strong, so I can carry my daughter. And I would start looking at the benefits and just pick the part that I usually pick apart, but say something positive about it. And it helped. Over time, I started to believe it. And then, boom, all of a sudden, I'm just like, no, I don't need to, starve myself,
Yeah. And I think the key thing about that is, so what you practice there, to kind of give it a name, is like you started practicing the cure to that negative self-talk is self-compassion, right? And that's kind of part of in our program, we have like a five-step framework that we work with our clients. And one of that framework is we call it the mindset shift. And the mindset shift is built onto like breaking the all or nothing thinking, celebrating small victories, and the most important one is practicing self-compassion. So what is practicing self-compassion is the way that you talk to yourself. So in your case is, you know what, like I don't need to do this like fad diets because I know I can be kinder to me and I can feel my body and I can find a way in which like I can enjoy foods that I like and I love and I adore and I can still get to my goals, right? I may not be able to do it as fast as I used to with all these fad diets, but you know what? I prefer slow and steady because I know I'm going to be able to sustain that. Because every single time I've done this the fast way, every single time that weight comes back up as fast as I actually lost it, if not faster.
Oh my gosh,
Right.
yes, like
So,
AM.
right. But we're just lured into dieting industry and dieting culture that tells us, like, well, lose 20. I was like in the, like, we go get our dog, like, he gets like fancy food. So we go to this butcher shop so he can get like he's like pork, whatever he's like eating. And I was listening to a like the radio, it was actually on, and it was just like one of those like segments of advertising. Oh my God, I started trying out this RN1 medication for weight loss, and I lost 20 pounds in the first month of trying it because it's regulating my hormones and blah 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 blah. And I'm listening to that and I'm like, you know what, if I was a woman who's listening to this, and I saw like there were people walking around, and I'm listening to this, and I'm struggling with this, but I have no clue, no education, nothing whatsoever. And I listen to that, and this is the first time that I'm trying to start my weight loss journey because this is the beginning of the year. I'm going to call the number so I can get the freaking medication, right? Or to get the supplement that we know is not going to work, right? And what they're going to do is they may actually kind of like do this diet, they lose the weight, and they're going to gain it back up again, right? So we're just like victims of this entire cycle that happens all the time, you know?
Sure. Like the grocery store at checkout, all those magazines, lose 10 pounds in a week. What?
Yeah.
No, that's just not gonna happen. Like, hello. And it's frustrating because, like you said, people who don't know, they, well, then it gets to that negative self-talk. Why couldn't I do it? Why can't I have willpower? Whatever.
Yeah, and willpower is a big thing because again, like we think like we have to, and that's another part of the like the story, right? Like, oh, I just don't have the motivation, or I don't have like the thing. Well, like it's mostly because of the fact that you know what you've done in the past and how hard that can be. So of course, like who is gonna be motivated to do that again when you fail so many times? When I say fail, it's because you've succeeded, but then you fail because of the fact that you're in the same place or worse than you were when you started, right? So that is the biggest problem that I tend to see in many of the people that we're working with. So again, back to the conversation of self-compassion, it's like how to practice that. Practicing self-compassion is just changing the way that you respond to yourself in the midst of situations. Example, you completely blew it on at dinner, right? Like you were really like the year started. 2023 is a new year. So I'm gonna go and I'm gonna start eating well, I'm gonna start healthy, I'm gonna work out, all these different things like that. The first kind of I guess like they call it the first moment that something happens that kind of derails you from the whole thing is you go out to eat and you were gonna go in with the idea of ordering like this like super boring ass salad, and you ended up ordering a burger because you haven't had a burger in 3 weeks because you're just so desperate and you wanted to have it, and then you just couldn't stop it because your friend told you, hey, come on, like, you know,
Oh,
reward yourself. So you have the burger, and then what happens after you come home? The guilt sets in, right? And the guilt gets into restriction again, and restriction and all this like feeling. So now you're starting to talk to yourself about like how you are just not going to be able to make this happen, all these different things. So how do we change that conversation happening at that point? Self-compassion means like, you know what? I didn't do great with my food choice tonight, but at least I did throughout this entire week. And tomorrow is a new day to just begin again and to start over again. And I'm gonna let this pass and I'm just gonna move on. See how the difference like conversation is happening? Like you're giving yourself the grace of you're not perfect, right? The same example happens with the people that again the year started, right? Like gyms are like too like so full at this point. And then you miss the gym once when you were really planning, especially moms. You're a mom, right? So like something happened, something came up with your kid and you had to pick him up and you actually had to go work out before. Like that was the plan originally, right? And then you didn't. I might as well just completely give up because I just missed it, right? Self-compassion is telling yourself, like, you know what? Maybe I didn't do this because, but I actually this morning or tomorrow, I'm actually gonna do a little 5 minute session. I'm gonna go on a walk, or maybe I'm gonna go on a walk tonight, even though it's not gonna be this 1 hour long workout that I'm gonna do. Right. So again, that gets pieced up with the all or nothing thinking, right? Which is thinking like a lot of times, like people don't understand that, you know, we call it the dials of effort inside of our program, which is most people think that you have to either go at 100% or 0%, right? And they forget that there's a lot of numbers in between, right? Like, what does like 50% look like for you? What does like 40% look like for you? Perhaps like the 100% is like working out like 6 days a week. Maybe your 50% is like going out three times, right? So it's understanding there's happy mediums and there are some places in between that can still help you accomplish your goals without you actually having to go this all out extremist, you know, processes that end up really in a situation where you just like talk so bad about yourself because you couldn't do it, you know?
And when you're negative to yourself, it's only going to stress you out. And then that affects so many things. Like, are you finding that with your clients and members as well?
Of course. Yeah. Like you get to a point where you get so fed up. How many times do you get fed up with the fat diets that you were doing? And then with points in which like you were just sitting in the kitchen, almost in tears, like thinking like, when is this going to end? Like, right? Like, you were doing this as an obligation. I tell our clients, like, if you don't actually sit down to eat something and you smile and of excitement, doesn't have to be every meal, but most meals you are actually excited about eating them, then you're doing something wrong, right? Because if you don't really learn, well, first of all, the basics of nutrition and how weight loss happens, like, that's the first thing. But if you don't really learn that process, then you're always going to struggle because, and this is obviously how a broken relationship with food starts, right? And for some people, this stuff even starts when they're kids, right? Like, when they're children. And sometimes, unfortunately, it comes from our parents, not by intention. No, they were not intentionally trying to create this on us. But even a statement, even a phrase, or something that our parents told us when we were kids can actually make a big difference. I worked with so many women who were put on diets when they were 9 years old. Can you imagine that? I mean, I don't know if obviously something like this happened to you, but just I have worked with so many people who were put on diets because their parents, again, like they see their daughters growing up and then they're just, according to their words, like they look a little bit chunky. They don't really fit into the mold. So they were put on this like restrictive diets and that's all they know since they were kids, right? So imagine like, 30-year-old Sally after she was put on a diet when she was nine, like, what her relationship with food is going to be, right? That's obviously something that is like very destructive and it creates so many problems with people, from the very beginning and starts obviously in your household when you're a kid,
So I want to dive into how you help people. You mentioned you have a 5-step framework. Could you kind of gloss over that? Give some insight.
So I think our 5-step framework, and we have what we call our nutrition blueprint method. And we call it a blueprint because I feel like people need to understand that everything needs to be personalized to them, right? If you're listening into this podcast right now, please stop following something that is being sent out to another 100 people, right? Like, cookie cutter programs are not really the thing for you, even if they work, even if you actually got to the goals, right? You need to make sure you find something that is personalized. So in our 5-step framework of the process, what we're really teaching people do is how to actually understand what works for them to help them get to their goals. We start with step number one, which is the old you versus new you, right? This is basically the first step in which we're auditing everything of who the old you is, right? Old you thinks this way, is a person that has this type of like negative mentality. You're eating this way. These are your habits. This is what your time like management looks like. So we bring awareness to that, right? We bring a brain awareness to the old you is, and then we kind of teach you the new possibilities. This is all the things that we need to change, right? So this is the beginning. If you don't really know what's happening right now, it's really difficult for you to be able to know what it needs to change, right? Many times people do these diets. They're not really looking at what they did. They're just basically trying to inject this program into their lifestyle, no matter obviously how it is. And they just kind of push through it, right? So that's step number one. The second step is what we call like our daily big three. It's very important to build strong habits so you can sustain them. And I'm sure like you can relate to this by knowing that none of the diets that ever, that you did or fad diets worked. They started working, or like your nutrition started working, where you started implementing healthier habits on a daily basis. So we call it the daily big three because we try to focus on just three small things that you can do every day. And we split them up into three things: mindset, lifestyle, and then movement. So what are specific things that you can do in terms of your mindset? Well, maybe is practicing self-compassion. Like, what is one big win that you can obviously celebrate for today? The second thing could be obviously something lifestyle specific. Like, well, maybe I'm going to go to bed 30 minutes earlier today so I can actually get enough sleep. And I don't have to be super tired, not making smart decisions the next day. So every day we focus on three habits and we start stacking them as we start to understand that they're starting to become really strong habits that can actually be sustained. And sometimes we repeat them and we repeat them and we have our clients actually track them so they can see, okay, wow, like I actually had a breakfast for like, 21 days in a row. Like, I'm proud of myself for that because before I didn't do that. right? So that's obviously habit stacking. Step number three is now when we have a foundation in terms of habits, we focus on what we call like that fat loss formula. This is when we are ready to kind of start to make these big changes to get the fat to start fall off. And of course, sometimes this happens at the second step, right? But we're not really getting people to focus too much on the scale. We're not getting people to focus on their body. We're just simply getting them to focus on the foundational pieces first. But the fat loss formula, and I think you do something similar, we teach our clients a flexible eating method, which is you obviously eat according to your macronutrient and calorie needs, right? And we teach you how you can actually enjoy the foods that you love without necessarily having to cut out things. You just need to learn how to manage your calories effectively. And we do it in a step-like process. First, we're going to help you track your calories so you learn how to do that. Then we're going to start to incorporate your protein. And then we're going to start to bring some more like the big guns between fats and carbs and learning that process. We pair that up again with movement, and that's a big important piece. Step number four is a mindset shift. This is where we do a lot of the inner work. This is where we really start to ask a lot of the hard questions, like what was your childhood like, right? So we can understand what triggers you, right? This is where we start to understand when does emotional eating happen in your life, right? And we can identify the triggers and the cues so we can start to actually change it. And the last step is what we call the new you stage. This is where we actually look back and understand, look how far you've come. Look at now the results that happen. And we tell our clients that one of the most important things with weight loss is you need to stop making it your focal point. You need to stop worrying about how much weight you lost every day to day. You need to start worrying about the changes in the journey and all these new habits that you're actually working through. And then it's kind of like you're closing your eyes towards the scale and you're going to be working all these amazing things on yourself. And the result of it, like, you know, 4 months later, which is usually the duration of that process, is like, oh my God, I dropped 15 pounds. Mm-hmm. I totally even forgot about this, right? Because the weight becomes like less important as it is to actually feel good and feel healthier. And when that happens, like the weight starts to melt, like the fat starts to melt off, but then it's not even something that people are even worried about, right? People typically have it backwards. They just focus, okay, did the weight like drop today? No, it didn't. Okay, this stuff is not working. How many times, obviously, you run into clients who does that? Even myself, me or you?
Oh, yeah, I step into that as well. I think it's just because we're so conditioned to think that that means results. However, like if like body composition changes, you know, I had a client once, she was very upset that she only lost 2 pounds and she lost something like 16 inches or something ridiculous. And I was like, hello.
Yeah. It's kind of what you're using to track your progress too. And I think that's another big piece in terms of what are the markers, what represents success to you, right? Like, and I ask people this question all the time when they tell me, hey, I want to lose 30 pounds. I was like, okay, so how much do you weigh? Okay, I weigh 180. I'd love to be 150. Got it. So let me ask you a question. If you only drop 5 pounds, but you're putting on pants that you have not been able to wear in like 5 years, and you're going to be able to put a swimsuit and you absolutely love your body, does the weight matter? Every single person always tell me the same thing, which is no, it doesn't. Correct. So we're going to remove yourself from thinking that your success is going to be predicated on the number on the scale. Your success is going to be predicated on how you feel and all their different markers that can represent that. So that could mean clothing. That can mean like maybe there's like this one dress you wanted to wear for a long time that you have not been able to, right? Maybe it's actually like for as crazy as it sounds, well, not crazy, but like being able to actually take your clothes off in front of your husband, yeah. Right? Which you have not been able to do in God knows how long and actually feeling comfortable being around him. Right? Like those are key things that can represent big markers of success. And when that happens, celebrate that freaking thing because it matters, right? And it's non-tangible things, right? Of course, you can do measurements and that's obviously something that is objective. You can obviously look at that. You can do like obviously progress photos and then obviously you can see the differences. But I've learned that the biggest and most important improvements always happen in things that you cannot really measure. It's
confidence.
A feeling, you know, it's that confidence, is that empowerment that you can feel as a result of not only doing changes and really focusing on yourself. Like, I don't know if you run into this all the time, but I talk to so many women that it's been years since they actually shined the light on themselves. Like they just being so focused on everybody else, their kids, their husbands, their families. And when I ask him, when is the last time you actually did something for you. When is the last time you actually got a manicure, a pedicure? You did something for you. And it's silence, right? It's like, I don't remember exactly, right? So you got to take care of yourself so you can take better care of other people.
Oh my goodness.
And if you
Yeah.
don't learn to do that, then you're always going to struggle. And that's one of the biggest things, you know?
Oh, for sure. You know, that actually inspired me, like with my own clients and my own members, another way to measure success, because we do those three, you know, images, like you do the physical things, we talk about energy, but I never thought of going, what's your confidence levels? Like, that's really inspiring. So even as like as a business perspective, like this podcast has been really helpful for me. And I know it's been helpful for everyone listening, because I really do appreciate that you went through those five steps. Now, if anyone is listening and they're just like, oh my gosh, like Andres is my man, I need to go hang out with him, like where can they learn more about your nutrition blueprint?
So the best way to obviously find out about us is if you go to planetsnutrition.com/blueprint, you're gonna be able to actually go in there to not only find out more about what we do, but also we offer something we like to call our blueprint calls. And those are gonna be, we call them clarity calls, where you're gonna be jumping on a call with somebody from my team that is going to help you kind of do a bit of an audit of your life right now. And they're gonna help you point you in the right direction in terms of what it is, right? And depending on the turnout of that conversation, a lot of times we're going to be able to send you a ton of different resources that can point you in the direction in terms of where you need to go. Perhaps your focus right now needs to be in nutrition. Perhaps it's actually going to be more in mindset specific tasks that you need to do for yourself. And of course, like if we're going to be able to help you, we're going to be able to actually kind of jump in a longer conversation to see if maybe you could be a good fit for us to walk you through that five-step framework that we actually do over the course of like 4 months. Now, that's obviously something you can do, and you can put it on your show notes if you want. But if you just want to see me dancing and doing fun stuff on social media, you can go on TikTok or on Instagram. On TikTok, my tag is Andres the Dietitian, and then on Instagram is Andres Ayesta, my first and last name. And you're gonna be able to come hang out with me. You can send me a message. You can just, you know, take a little screenshot of this podcast record, like, you know, recording as you're listening into it, and tag me on there as you also tag Rhonda. And that's gonna be a great place that we're gonna be able to connect and get together. But that's maybe something free that you can get out of that if you want to go to planetsnutrition.com/blueprint.
Awesome. And I'm on your website on my other computer here. I was taking a look, and you have also a free guide. You have a macro counting guide, because
Yeah, we have a macro counting guide. So the best way, like I said, is like you can probably download it directly from there. And you go in there and, you know, put your email, and then it's gonna be, you know, shoot straight over to you, to your inbox. Or you can just message me and then say like, hey, I listened to your podcast, Rana, and I would love to kind of get this guide. Like, we'll send it to you
yeah.
really. So we're super on top of our social media, especially our DMs, just to make sure that you get the value that you're looking forward to get. So
Oh yeah, for sure. And same thing, like, so if someone messages me and they're like, oh, I was listening and I forgot, but there was a guide, boom, like I'll send it right over. I can send them your way. All of, yeah, everything will be in the show notes, where you can find Andres on Instagram, TikTok, everything. I'll put it all in there, because just this conversation, like I can see how well you help people. And when I was on your website and just looking at your testimonials and the video stories, that's like, you can see that emotion and how connected they are with you and how appreciative they are. Because it's clear you're not just, oh yeah, here's your stuff, okay, bye. Like, you are in your team, you're invested with everyone.
Yeah, it's my passion. It's actually why I'm doing this, and why I continue to do it every single day. So, that's what we're here to support people with, and hopefully trying to get them outside of that cycle that they're on in terms of diets, and stop being victims of this diet industry and culture that tells you it's their way or no way. You know, that's the most important thing.
I feel like the professionals in the industry, we hear this stuff. Like before, I was like, oh, fad diets. And then I started educating myself and going to school. And all of a sudden, you see it and you just roll your eyes. You're like, no. And it's so funny, because I'll have people go, oh, what about keto? What about this? I'm like, unless there's a medical reason, like there's a reason why dietitians, nutritionists, they hate it. Like there's a reason.
Yeah, because it's like obviously kind of like creates all that. It's the same type of people I'll tell you have to have, like, you know, like cheat meals. I was just reading what you have right behind you. Like, you didn't cheat
Oh,
on your diet. Food is, I don't
not
know what it says at the
moral.
bottom.
That's backwards. It says you didn't cheat on your diet. Food is not moral. You know, it
It
didn't
was
run
my
over
world.
grandma. It didn't
Yeah.
do something bad.
Correct. Yeah. So that's kind of part of the work that I think you and I are working on doing right now to help people understand that. And I think that the way I explain this is, you know, you and I know this and we repeat it every day. And we're like, man, like people should know this. But the way a lot of times I like to kind of humble myself with is like, well, if I was trying to kind of get my accounting done for my taxes and I have no clue, never actually done it in my life. And then an accountant is like, oh, you got to do this and this. Like you should know this. No, I don't, right? So I try to treat our people that come in into our world of nutrition with the same exact level. Like maybe you don't even know what a protein is, right? So we need to kind of start with the basic stuff, you know? So that's the
No
key things for people
shaming.
to understand.
Yeah, no shaming, because when they're getting their Facebook ads and stuff, they're just trying to see what people works or what their cousin did that worked for them. We're
Right.
just trying to get them to the shortcut of getting out of the misery cycle.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today, Andres. It was great to talk to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, and hopefully your audience got something out of this.
Oh, I know they did. I'm really excited about this.
Oh my goodness. Didn't you learn so much from Andres? He is such a wealth of knowledge. And it's so exciting that him and his wife are about to have another baby. So, congratulations to them. Well, we will be back next week for another episode. Until then, bye.